I meet a couple of scientists from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office in Ashland. Ted Kohler says development has already impacted chunks of the local ecosystem. He shows me the Fish Creek coastal wetland. It bumps right up next to the city of Ashland.
Some of the difference in this area right here where we're standing were caused by the highway, Highway 2 running across out here.
Kohler says if it weren't for the causeway disrupting this wetland from Lake Superior, a magical interchange of water would be taking place.
It's not really a tide, but the natural ebb and flow of the lake, mostly affected by wind in the Great Lakes, caused the water levels to go up and down in these coastal wetlands and naturally flush the sediment further out into the lake.
Kohler says the natural ups and downs of wetland waters also create a sublime habitat for water-resilient plants and creatures that thrive on them. He says 10 miles east of here, the ecosystem is still functioning uninterrupted in the Bad River watershed, the one the proposed iron mine would imprint. The river feeds seamlessly into wetlands called the Kakagan Sloughs, and they interact with Lake Superior.
They are the largest wild rice estuary on the Great Lakes, highly important for waterfowl and migratory songbirds when they're on their migration heading south.
Kohler says migrating birds feast on bugs and insects in the rice, and scientists are realizing young sturgeon thrive here too. Henry Quinlan is a fish and wildlife fishery biologist.
And in the last 20 or 25 years, agencies have been working to try and restore lake sturgeon.
Long ago, the population plummeted after people altered the ecosystem to create what they needed.
We began damming up rivers when there was a lot of paper and industrial pollution. Prior to that, in the sawmill and port construction era.
Yet Quinlan says sturgeon never stopped spawning in the Bad River system.
This is a historic, natural, self-sustaining population.
The biologist can't predict how a mining operation upstream might influence the balance of the watershed. There are still too many unknowns.
Fish populations are obviously affected by anything that enters the water. High levels of sediment, chemical, or the temperature of the water will influence fish populations pretty substantially.
Wildlife biologist Bruce Bacon has his sights on the treetops and the American marten. He says the small fur-bearing animal disappeared from its native northern Wisconsin due to unregulated trapping and
probably more importantly, loss of habitat in the big log over that occurred at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s.
In the 1970s, reintroduction began, and Bacon says the marten is now thriving, with the Pinoki figuring into its success.
It provides a lot of habitat for numerous wildlife, including marten, which do better in habitat that has bigger trees and large woody debris that's on the ground. And the Pinokis have a lot of that.
A mining project will require tree removal. Bacon says it's too early to know how extensive that removal would be and how wildlife would fare.
Part of it is just a matter of scale. What percentage of the older habitat's going to get removed and removed for a very long time?
Bacon says wildlife can be quite elastic, but requires contiguous rather than chopped up islands of habitat. Tom Fitz knows a lot about the ancient geological formations of the Lake Superior region, including the iron it holds. The Northland College geoscience professor has piles of maps outlining deposits.
The iron wood is shown here as a strip of red, and you can see how long this thing is, and there is a lot of iron there, that's for sure. It's about 400 feet thick.
The iron deposit pitches at an angle, so Fitz says the more ore mined, the more rock above it will have to be moved out of the way. The layer is mostly composed of slate, which he says poses no environmental threat, but there are at least trace amounts of pyrite. That raises red flags.
If this gets crushed up and water goes through it, then that can leach some elements that are toxic.
Fitz says it's critical to determine how much pyrite exists.
And what would be its fate in these waste rock piles.
Fitz's colleague, Randy Lair, thinks Wisconsin's legislation might be overlooking an obvious wrinkle in permitting the mine project. Lair points to the proposed footprint on another map.
Devil's Creek right here?
He says that stream stands to disappear as the mine takes shape, and the water is protected by federal law.
Most of the time that is intended to say there can't be an increase in the discharge of a pollutant into that stream. But in this case, we'd be actually talking about the actual loss of the stream, like it would be, you know, potentially just not there anymore.
Northland student Christy Wilson hopes to be part of the next generation of what she calls enlightened environmental activism.
To have people that actually work in a proactive way to negate the
negative environmental impacts as much as possible so that these things can be done responsibly.
The natural resources major thinks of this moment in Wisconsin history as being pivotal to her education and her future. Susan Bentz, 89.7 WUWM.